And reading this morning part of the story of creation from the first chapter of Genesis. God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have created us in your image, and yet so often we fall short of what we know we could and should be. Encourage us, gracious God, by your example, and enable us as best we can to follow you and to love as you love. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Some of you I know met my sister when she was here visiting recently, and she had a lot of fun meeting you and hanging out with some of you at church events. In fact, I need to be careful you're not too good to her, because she may come back and just stay here with me. We did really well together this time, maybe the best time we've ever had together, because some of you know how sisters are. At some point, they tend to get on each other's nerves. And by the end of her visit, she did it. I have to be careful, because you know my sisters listen to these sermons online, so I'm being really careful what I say here. She can't resist bringing up the one thing that really irritates me. I was baking, and she watched me take the baking powder out of the cupboard and shake a bit into what I was making, and then I took the salt and I ground a bit into the batter, and I did the same for the brown sugar and a few other ingredients, and then she just had to say it. "Sheila, you're just like Grandma." Now, I know it's meant as a compliment. Our grandmother never used measuring cups, and she could bake more in one morning than most of us would bake in a month. She also held the farm together while giving birth to 14 children. She was a strong, resilient woman, so I know I should be honored. Hey, but then, the conversation always comes round to how I'm also built like Grandma, too. Now, you would need to see pictures to really understand how much that gets my back up. We're both muscular women. I think it ends there. But if I can be half as strong and determined as my grandmother was, I will be a fortunate woman. It's always interesting, though, isn't it, to see how things are passed on from one generation to another, and how at other times the potential is there, but it's not always embraced by a new generation. God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Being created in God's image is a wonderful honor, is it not? But that theological concept brings with it so many complications. I mean, first of all, what exactly does it mean to be created in God's image? There is the traditional concept of original sin, which would say that we were once good, that we fell from grace, and now are not, in fact, innocent until proven guilty, but quite the reverse, we're evil until we're redeemed through the grace of Christ. And in our multicultural, multi-faith world, what does that say about our neighbors for whom the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ holds no significance? That's a question we didn't worry so much about a generation ago when almost everyone in our small towns were Christian and we saw our mission as going out there to other parts of the world to save people. So there's a bit of a troublesome theological issue for sure. But then if we go back to the idea that we essentially are created in God's image and therefore have at the center of our souls goodness and righteousness, then what about those souls who seem to be inherently evil? What about the serial killers we've seen lately on the news? If we are all created in God's image, and if we don't buy the fall from grace theory, then why do some souls seem to be evil? Are some just dealt a different hand, a bad hand? And as we've heard more and more as we acknowledge the sexual diversity within humankind, then the assumption is that if we're all created in God's image, then all of us are acceptable in God's sight. I'm just fine with that, but I know it creates some discomfort for some. Okay, I know this is pretty heavy stuff on a holiday weekend, right? When you just wanted to come to church and hear me preach a cheery, happy Canada Day sermon. But I think it's important for us to struggle a bit with things we too often talk about too easily without thinking about how one theological thought leads to another. And today, as usual, I think many of the complications arise when we begin to take things too literally. I prefer, actually, to think about the concept of being created in God's image as a sort of symbolic, philosophical one, much like many other Old Testament stories that are best, I think, not being understood as literal truth. I like to think that created in God's image, we have the innate potential to reflect the goodness, the love, and the grace of our God. Buried within each of us is that seed of potential, that seed of hope. But sometimes without the necessary nurturing, without the community support, and with the constant pressure from the world around us, with the unfortunate medical issues that cause some minds not to see things clearly, with the existence in the world of things that are inherently evil, we are not always able to live out the divine heritage that is ours. It really is about potential, isn't it? We heard a lot about potential yesterday in the speeches from Ottawa. And I love that about our country. We are proud of who we are, and rightly so. But we are also well aware that we have made mistakes in the past, that there is potential for mistakes to be made in the future. But we also acknowledge that we have the incredible potential to be a wonderful country which sees diversity as a strength, which welcomes newcomers, remembering that we too once set foot on this soil for the first time, and a country that continues to create a safe and equitable environment for all. So too, all of us, created in the image of a gracious, loving, forgiving God, have the same potential to be as loving, as kind, as gracious, as forgiving as the one who created us. We have within us that potential. But just as each of us is handed down lessons and goodness from the generation before us, we have the choice. We have the choice to either cultivate the goodness or to walk away from it. We have that choice in our churches these days, the same choice that we have in our communities and in our country. We can rejoice in our past and rest on its laurels, or we can choose to constantly work toward the future, striving always to embody the goodness, the richness, the grace, and the inclusive love of the one in whose image we were created. If we choose to pause and to cast our glance longingly toward what was, I think our fate is sealed. If we hold tight to the goodness of the past while constantly forging our way forward, I believe that the God who created us will walk with us always into a future filled with amazing potential. The choice, as always, is ours.